It is Tuesday, November 11th, 2014, and you are listening to The Kickabout. The Kickabout is the Nationals podcast focusing on football in the UAE, and it is part of the Extra Time series. I am your host, Paul Freeland, and joining me today is returning champion Paul Oberjergi, sports editor of The National. Paul, welcome back.
Thanks, Paul. Always happy to be here.
Now, we will get to the Gulf Cup of Nations shortly, but we have to talk about the fallout from the Al Ahly Al Ain match from the Arabian Gulf League back on October 27th. For those who don't remember, it was 1-1 at Rashid Stadium in extra time when Carlos Munoz appeared to be taken down in the penalty area, only for referee Yaqub Al-Hamadi to give him a second yellow card for diving, after which it was just bedlam. Al Ahly goalkeeper Majed Nasser banned 6 months, fined 200,000 dirhams for spitting at a referee. Now, that probably seems harsh, but bear in mind, this is the same guy who was banned a year in 2001 for hitting a referee, 13 matches in 2007 for assaulting a linesman, 17 matches in March 2013 for slapping Kike Sanchez Flores, who was the Al-Wasl coach back then, and then 6 months later that year in June for headbutting an Al-Muharraq player during the GCC Champions League final. And then, in addition, during the Al Ain match, Cosmin Olaroyu, he was sent off, fined 10,000 dirhams, club fined 30,000 dirhams because there were six bookings in the match, and 20,000 dirhams for fans, quote, offensive chants, end quote, toward the officials. Now, Al Ahly, they're outraged by all this, say there's going to be the media campaign against the club, and they're being treated unfairly. Paul, do they have a point?
I think they do, actually, yes. When they talk about a media campaign, they're talking specifically about television. It's not a newspaper thing. Mm-hmm. And I would guess that it's almost certain that their complaints are with Abu Dhabi media, Abu Dhabi Sports, which, if it tilted towards Al Ain a little bit, wouldn't be too unexpected. I don't know if it's a campaign as much as I think it is people reacting to what they see, and various things have happened at Al Ahly for the past few years. It's not like those two teams get together and something weird doesn't happen. It happened the other way around when Cosmin, as I recall, had something thrown at him, or thought he had something thrown at him when he was coach at Al Ain and they were playing Al Ahly. If I'm Al Ahly, though, I'm probably very paranoid at this point. Because not only were they hit with these four different fines, is it four? Yeah, one for the club, one for the team, one for the fans, mm-hmm. and one for Majed Nasser. The previous two seasons, they also were penalized 3 points twice. So they've been hit with easily the hardest penalties in the league over the past three seasons when they've had this really rabid rivalry with Al Ain.
Mm. And then how do you see this playing out? Do you think any of this gets scaled back on appeal?
I think not. The appeals generally are not upheld, except bannings or suspensions. I think the one thing that might change is that we might see Majed Nasser's ban, which I believe is 6 months. Mm-hmm. We could see that reduced, but given what his history, maybe it will not be.
All right. And then just some other news, hot off the presses today. Your 2014 AFC Player of the Year nominees are Al Ahly defender Ismail Ahmed, 2006 winner Khalfan Ibrahim of Qatar's Al Sadd, and everyone's favorite head-butting, spit-lobbing Al-Hilal striker Nasser Al-Shamrani. Now, Ismail Ahmed could be the UAE's first Asian Player of the Year, joining the likes of recent winners Server Jeparov, Sasha Ogdenovsky, Lee Kun-ho, and Zheng Ji. But first off, is he even the best player on his team? And could you make a case that he's had the best year of any player, a UAE player?
No. This thing is ridiculous. These three finalists is madness. It seems very much weighted towards Shamrani of Al Hilal winning the award. Ismail Ahmed is a good player. He's a solid player, tall kid. Nice player, central defender, but if he might be the best, the fifth or sixth best player for Al Ain. We're talking about Omar Abdulrahman. If you want to talk about somebody who's player of the year, the leading scorer in the Asian Champions League was Al Ain's Asamoah Gyan, who scored more goals than did Shamrani of Hilal, even though he had two more matches. Mm-hmm. And if you want to talk about who actually deserves it, let's look at the champions, Western Sydney Wanderers. Let's look at their goalkeeper, Ante Kovac, who did not surrender a goal in the semifinals or in the final. This is crazy.
Mm. Now, I think if I remember correctly, the AFC has instituted the AFC Foreign Player of the Year in addition to the AFC International Player of the Year for any Asian players who can't make the awards ceremony. So Gian might be in the running for Foreign Player of the Year, which has gone to Brazilians in the last 2 years. But enough buildup. Let's get to the Gulf Cup of Nations. It starts Thursday in Riyadh. Group A, they got the Saudis, Bahrain, Qatar, and Yemen. And Group B has the UAE, Iraq, Kuwait, and Oman. We'll look at the Group B. You got Iraq coming into the tournament with a couple draws, Yemen, Bahrain. Kuwait beat Jordan and drew with them. Beat North Korea, drew with Yemen. And Oman, who the UAE opens with on Friday, I believe, they come into that on the back of three straight losses, Ireland, Costa Rica, and Uruguay. Pretty ambitious setup there. Paul, what do we make of the UAE? They had that five-game unbeaten run. They scored twice during it, won once. They got hammered at home 4-0 by Uzbekistan. And then last week, they go and beat Lebanon 3-2 in Saudi Arabia. Ahmed Khalil hat-trick. Do we have any kind of sense of the UAE at this point?
I don't think we really do. Lebanon is not a bad side. They've come back a bit the past 4 or 5 years. But beating them 3-2, and two of those three were penalties, is not the sort of overwhelming result you would hope for. A key thing here, and what we absolutely do not know, is what is the status of Omar Abdulrahman. He was the player of the tournament in January of last year when the UAE won the tournament. If he's not available, that changes things entirely. Now, it's encouraging that Ahmed Khalil did score those three goals, including two penalties against Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, as you mentioned, there was that one goal in five matches dry spell where, and historically when the UAE has struggled, it's because they cannot put the ball in the net.
Yeah, because during that five, they had the long dry spell when their European friendlies, and they got 0-0 home draw with Australia. But Omar hasn't played for Al Ain since September 30th. Ismail Matar, who's going to be the captain, assuming he stays healthy, he's only seen a handful of minutes off the bench for Al Wada. Hamdan Al Kamali's out. And Ahmed Khalil, like we mentioned, he hasn't played a full 90 for Al Ahli this season, at least in the AGL, if not overall. So I think the one bright spot so far is you've got Ali Babkut, who you're playing up top with. Playing up top for Al Jazeera. He's had 5 or 6 goals, and his last few appearances have been good. But again, it's who's going to create the chances and who's going to stick them away. It wouldn't be outlandish to say the UAE advances out of their group, would it?
It's definitely possible that they would not. Let's look at their group again. UAE, Iraq, Kuwait, Oman.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 22 previous stagings of the game, I guess it's actually 21 previous stagings of this tournament, 16 of them were won by one of these four teams. All four of them, I would not be surprised if any of those four came out of that bracket. The other bracket is much easier. Mm-hmm. Saudi, which has won this thing only 3 times. Bahrain has never won it. Yemen will never win it. And Qatar has won it twice. The groups are massively uneven. It's set up so that the hosts, Saudi, and hosts get to do this. They get extra day of rest all along. Once they get into the knockout phases, they're playing in their big stadium. They will have tons of fans there. I think it's going to be a difficult. I think there's a sense that the Emirati should win, and maybe they will. But I think this will be much more difficult than was Bahrain 2 years ago.
So it sounds like if Mahdi Ali is going to live up to his title of this sort of the magic man for the UAE. During his tenure, it's like now he really is going to have to pull something out of his hat to defend this title. So, Paul, if I had to make you put your marker down right now, what's your semifinals and who's in your final?
Semifinals, I'm going to say Qatar and Saudi, and this is hard, but I will say the UAE and Iraq. Iraq is a good tournament team. They tend to show up with tough, fairly big teams, physically strong, a little bit imposing, and they also have maybe the best young player in the entire region in Humam Tariq. an 18-year-old midfielder who signed with Ali. Those are my four, but I'm fairly confident about Qatar and Saudi, but the other two, the Group B, the Emirati group, that could be Kuwait and Oman without any problem.
All right. And then who do you have winning the whole thing?
I'm going to say Saudi. Saudi's due to win something. I think that Al Hilal's run just now shows that they're in at least decent form until they got to the very end there. And playing at home. I mean, no one in the Gulf Cup gets to play at home in front of 60,000 people like Saudi will if they can get to the semifinals. And I think that would be very difficult to overcome if whoever it is that plays them in the semis and the finals.
All right. And who do they beat in the final?
I'm going to say Iraq.
Okay. And then just for those of you listening at home or tuning in later, this time around, beIN Sports will be showing all the matches. I think about $15 million that they secured it for?
Yes, they paid $15 million. Any other regional broadcasters are open to also buy into it, but the last we heard, beIN is the only one that has bought into it so far in terms of what that can be seen here in the Emirates.
All right, well, there you go, folks. Get your beIN Sports packages because not sure how else you're going to see it. Thank you so much for joining us for this latest edition of The Kickabout. This podcast was edited by Marwan Al-Hamadi and produced by the Nationals Multimedia Desk. Follow the Multimedia Desk on Twitter at NSVUAE and the Sports Desk at SPRT National UAE. I'm Paul Freeland. Thanks for listening.